What's up, guys? Back for episode 4 of the 20-something podcast with my friend Nick Kwong. He's a really good friend of mine, a really great mentor. We met back in college, what, like 2.5 years ago now?
Yeah, about.
So today we're going to be diving into health and wellness, specifically physical wellness and taking care of your body. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, you probably saw my little quick lesson that I put on my story, and I really thought it was a good idea and I wanted to expand on it. So I'm going to go ahead and let Nick kind of give you guys a little bit more of a background intro. But like I said, we went to UCSB together and he's a great dude. So this should be a fun episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Really appreciate this opportunity, and it's always cool to, you know, kind of collab on these types of things. I know this is something that you've been working towards, and it's real cool to see this, you know, come together. It's really really awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so Senna and I met in college. He's a transfer student, joined the same business fraternity together, and just kind of kicked it off. You're surrounding yourself with like-minded people that are going to be very ambitious and you know, strive towards their goals. And, you know, I think that's one of the big qualities that just pulled us together, and I really appreciate that about him. So, yeah, today we're going to talk about, you know, a little bit about physical well-being and taking care of your body. And personally for me, I've had a lot of experiences that I feel have helped me realize that and focus on that more. So we'll dive into that during the podcast.
Yeah, you killed me with the like-minded thing. If I had a dollar for every time I heard like-minded people from fraternity in college. But yeah, so we're going to start off. We decided to break it in. You know, starting early, I think for a lot of people listening, your parents try to get you into certain things. A lot of times it's sports or some type of activity that kind of gets you guys out of the house, get you moving. Because as a kid, you have all that bundled up energy anyway. And so I was talking to Nick early on, you know, he played sports as a kid. I played sports as a kid. But it was one of those funny things. It's like, it's so important to take care of your body. And we know that now. But when you think about it, when you're a kid and you're going through things like stretching, or, you know, like your coaches are saying, oh, make sure you stretch so you don't get hurt.
And, yeah, you're,
you know,
doing all your warm-ups and everything like that.
To kids, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. And so I think we're programmed for a really young age, because you're pretty much, you don't run into those type of injuries when you're younger. You think that it can't happen to you. So we kind of program ourselves to think that, you know, it's okay to get by just kind of jumping into things, or not really, like, you know, not blatantly just trying to, you know, hurt your body or put yourself in, like, you know, a bad position for injuries. But you just think, like,
yeah,
oh, it's not going to happen.
Skip over it. You know, you feel like you're indestructible when you're younger, and you just kind of go for things that, you know, you don't really take the proper precautions or take the time necessary to really get into what you should be doing. Yeah, very common in sports when I was growing up. I played a little bit of baseball, played a little bit of basketball. And then in high school, I was on the rowing team. And then I also did pole vaulting, which are kind of atypical sports for a high school student. But yeah, my coach in high school would always focus on, you know, warm-ups, stretching in the beginning, and then even after practice we would do kind of like yoga sessions and you know, things where we would take care of our bodies and really calm down, like, you know, rest our legs on particularly heavy leg days. And I don't know, that I think that really stuck with me through a lot of what I've been doing. And yeah, maybe I lost sight of it a little bit in college, but that you know, kind of just always remained core to me engaging in these physical activities.
That's pretty rare too, because honestly, like, for me, I was pretty opposite. I feel like when I played, like, I started playing sports when I was like, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And obviously when you're young, it, you know, it really won't make that much of a difference. But, you know, when I started getting into high school and I started playing football, like, especially, they would really stress, you know, taking care of your body, you know, ice bath, stretching, yoga, diet, obviously being super strict and things like that. But, you know, being back then, the mentality I had, I was like, oh, it's whatever. Like, I'm kind of indestructible. I'm lifting weights. I'm kind of doing my thing. Like, I don't think that's something that's really going to benefit me. Because I would say, like, I've said that before. I was like, oh, I'm young. Like, I don't have to deal with this until I'm older. So you would say you, for the most part, you were able to kind of stick with that mentality of being on top of taking care of your body, or, like, you know, doing the right steps needed to make sure, like, you could be, you know, healthy and have that longevity in terms of, you know, your wellness with your body?
I would say that it's taken a couple of like injuries and a couple of, you know, pegs being knocked down to come to that point. You know, you get a new appreciation of how being active and just being able to do things and, you know, not being in pain or not hurting really is, you know, you know, you really gain an appreciation for that and an appreciation for your body and realizing that, hey, I can do these things and, you know, I want to be able to do these things well into the future. So what do I need to do to get there?
Yeah. So for you, for advice to younger people, like who maybe don't necessarily have those mentors or didn't have those mentors when they were going through sports and stuff, to kind of like show them that way, like what kind of advice would you give to those people, or like a way that they could kind of maybe try to understand that from a younger age? Because when you're young, like I said, you're a little bit more immature to the fact that you think you're kind of indestructible.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a good way to kind of break through to those kids that, you know, are just, you know, they're just being young, they're being ignorant to the fact that, you know, that's not the way reality works?
Yeah, well, I would definitely say listening to your body is the hugest piece to it. Figuring out, you know, what's hurting. Should I continue to do this? Will it make my body hurt more? Or, you know, is this going to be beneficial in the long run? And then also maybe just finding people that are like-minded and you know, are going through similar things or have a similar view on this. You know, teammates is a great example, or as you mentioned previously, like a coach or somebody that's helping you through whatever, you know, team sport that you're doing. They're going to be probably a great resource for you to really focus on, because they have the experience or they're going through a shared experience with you, and they can relate to you a lot more easily in that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the things, the biggest things too, for people like our age, especially like, or just, you know, younger, the idea of like trying to be have a little bit more humility, because I think, you know, understanding that, like, when you understand that injuries can happen to any, like, can happen to anybody, and you can easily be put in that position, it kind of, you know, really takes you back to reality. And so, like I said, usually going through an actual injury kind of really helps, you know, put that into perspective. And we're obviously going to dive into that later, but we can jump from, you know, from the child and high school age realm kind of into college. And so you kind of spoke on it a little bit, but obviously you make a transition when you kind of get to college, and the lifestyle is different.
Santa Barbara, real different, man. You know, you're flung into this independent mode where you're really taking care of yourself. There's nobody really looking out for you. You go to the gym when you want to go to the gym. You eat whatever you want to eat. You destroy your body with other things when you want to. So it's really, you got that independence, and it's figuring out like, okay, what do I need to be doing to take care of myself, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, especially for those that can relate, like, obviously, like you said, when we go to college, especially UCSB, it's like, you know, you're drinking, you're partying, people are doing drugs, you're eating on a crazy schedule, you're taking a bunch of caffeine for classes and everything like that. Your parents aren't there to kind of watch over you and make sure that you take care of yourself the way that you're supposed to. So just right off the bat, obviously, like, say, like, I'm a, you know, wide-eyed 17, 18-year-old freshman, like, you know, how do I find some type of balance in that? You know, how am I able to, how can I help keep myself on top of those sort of things? Like, obviously you want to have balance, you want to have fun, but you have to be able to think about those other aspects to kind of take care of your body, because in the long run, as we keep going back to, you know, that's going to eventually catch up to you.
Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, I definitely, it took me a little while to figure out and prioritize how to balance everything. My freshman year, I remember I went to the gym maybe like once in the morning, and then I would play basketball later that night after class, and I would go for like 4 hours at a time and just completely exhaust myself and didn't really stretch after, didn't really, you know, wind down or, you know, do any like icing or anything like that. And that was insanely reckless. So just getting a feel for what you need to be doing and listening to your body after the fact, it honestly, it just takes time for you to grow and figure out that appreciation for your body and, you know, figure out what you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's kind of hard. You kind of have to go through it and experience it for yourself and understand, like, what your limits are.
Yeah.
I mean, I even still struggle with that sometimes. Obviously, like, drawing the line of, like, you know, like, what's too much for going out, you know, and, you know, what should I do or not do? Because, like, when you're in college, you kind of have that mentality, you know, you get FOMO, you want to be around,
you want to be there
doing things and stuff like that. And so it even comes down to just maybe like a control thing, like understanding, like, you can go out and have fun, but, like, limit, you know, like, how much, you know, if you're drinking or, you know, whatever you're doing, like, you know, put a cap on it. Understand that, like, you know, there's other fun to be had, and understand that, you know, you're putting your body through a lot. And that, aside from like the partying and the, you know, the going out aspect of it, obviously with school too, because I feel like kids, you know, from that age, 18 to 23 or whatever you have it, put a lot of stress on school, as it, you should, because it's important. But, you know, being in the libraries all hours of the night, you know, racking up on caffeine, eating like
sleep
from
deprivation,
the worst types of food too, like on, like, because it's like you're not, like, when people say it, it's such a played out thing to say, but your body is pretty much like an engine, and you have to feed it correctly, you have to take care of it, you have to make sure you do the right things, because there's a lot of moving parts. And so I mean, in terms of college, that, like, going through that experience, I mean, it's definitely difficult. But we'll dive into another thing that happened to you when you were in college. It's a little bit more, I would say, not rare, but it's not the typical, like, way you would run into an injury. So if you can kind of explain, you know, the injury that you went through, just kind of like the backstory to that. You know, we can definitely dive into that a little bit more, and, you know, what you learned from it.
Yeah, so in college, I think it was my junior year, or maybe it was my senior year, I can't remember, but
it was senior year. I was
okay.
A junior.
Ah, okay, you got the memory.
Yeah.
So I was playing basketball. I loved playing basketball throughout college, and like I mentioned previously, I would go for exorbitant amounts of time, and just, you know, not really stretch or not really, you know, wind down or take the necessary precautions afterwards. So my senior year is playing basketball at the UCSB Rec Center, and on top of that, people at college campuses, typically when they play basketball, they're all, you know, relatively young, very energetic, don't really have any precaution for,
definitely a little reckless,
safety, you know. If they've got the muscles for it, they'll muscle you up and kind of just play real physical. And yeah, that's there's a good side to that, but at the same time, you know, when you come back and have, you know, like, a different view of things, you're like, damn, that's reckless, man. Like, you can't, that's not sustainable, you know?
Yeah.
So I was playing basketball my senior year. I went up for a layup and somebody ran into me while I was in the air. I think they, like, kneed my knee or something, and I just felt a pop and came down on it, you know, probably the worst pain that I've felt. And after going to the doctor, got an MRI, and turned out that I tore my ACL and my meniscus, which was, like, pretty heartbreaking to hear. That, you know, damn, I'm not invincible, you know. Things happen to me, and you really got to take that into consideration when you're planning your next move now. Like, oh, I need to be more conscious of what I'm putting my body through. And honestly, it was a really terrible thing, but at the same time, a really great thing, I think, for myself. Being able to look more carefully at my body and put a new focus on taking necessary precautions and you know, doing, like, physical therapy and stretching and you know, making sure that I'm planning for the future instead of just kind of going for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the humility thing that we talked about, right?
Yeah.
You kind of come to that realization. And so, I mean, like we said, we spoke earlier, we both played sports in high school, and that's kind of the realm where you figure out, or that you think you're kind of invincible and that nothing can hurt you.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then, it's like when we play sports and you have a major injury and you see it, like, you know, the comeback, or, you know, you have to go through the rehab, but you're doing it for something. You're doing it to get back to a sport. You're doing it to do, you know, get back to that normal level of competitiveness that you were at, you know, before the injury. And so, like I said, that the reason I felt like your case was a little bit more rare is, like, you did it while you were in college. You know, obviously you weren't playing, like, on a full-time team. You know, you're mainly focused on school. And so for you, where did you kind of find the motivation to really put effort into, like, physical therapy and, like, really, you know, zoning in on healing your body when there wasn't really, like, a, you know, a huge, like, a main end goal? Like, you aren't trying to come back for the next season or, you know, things like that. You know, how did you approach that?
I think my comeback was just working and putting in all this work to get back to having a normal life and being able to do things that I wanted to do. Like, I still love playing basketball, and I play basketball now significantly less, of course, but I still get to play basketball, you know, a couple times a week. And I think for me, that's what my main goal was. I wanted to be able to do things properly so that I can continue to do the things that I enjoy. I enjoy being healthy. I enjoy being active. I recently, you know, picked up snowboarding this season, and you need to be in, like, pretty decent shape to be, you know, sliding down a mountain at 30 miles per hour in the snow. And it's a lot of leg work. It's a lot of, you know, pressure on your knees. So making sure that I'm taking the necessary precautions to make sure that my body is in good shape to be able to enjoy those things, for me, was the biggest part. And today, that still holds true, I think, is just wanting to you know, lay the foundation and take care of myself so that I can keep doing what I like and continue to do that well into the future.
Yeah, I mean, very well said. And I think in the aspect too, like you said, obviously it's a really major injury. You kind of just went through the process you were going through, like what you want, like what your main goals were, but that might not have been the case right when you had the injury. Obviously a lot of thoughts run through your head. What was your initial, like, where were you at, you know, in your head, like spatially in your head, like where, what were you thinking? Like, did you kind of have that down moment first before you kind of understood the goals that you wanted to reach? Like, you know, it's like, because I mean, that's a major injury, like mobility wise, you know, lifestyle changes for, you know, almost a year. So take me through, like, what was like the first couple of weeks like after the injury?
It was awful, like absolutely terrible. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, you know. Like, not only could I not be active and, you know, play basketball or you know, run or anything like that, but I couldn't walk, you know, like that just sucked. First week after I got injured, I actually waited a little while before I got my MRI. So I spent maybe about a week just like confined to my room and, you know, kind of like skipped my classes because I couldn't walk down the stairs to my apartment. And I couldn't actually physically get to class. So for that week, it was just like being confined to my room and to my bed and like emailing my professors and being like, hey, I can't get to class. Like, can you accommodate for this, please? Luckily I didn't have like any exams or anything like that at the time. So timing wise, that was real nice. But yeah, that was like, you definitely go through that down moment of like, damn, this sucks. Like, the thing that I usually do to de-stress would be to work out or to play basketball, and me being confined and me being, you know, stressed in my room and being unable to do that, it was difficult to cope with.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah,
I mean, I think too, like, that's understanding, like, that's in school, like, you know, that's not necessarily like, you know, like in high school and stuff, it happens in sports, it's really easy to get your classes covered and things like that. But I think that's like a good example of like when it happens, you know, when you're older, you were, I think, 21 when it happened.
Yeah, like 21.
It's like, you kind of start to realize like the world doesn't stop just because you got hurt, you know. Yeah. You're not in that confined bubble of high school or, you know, whatever age it would happen when, typically when you're younger.
Yeah.
So I think like the fact is like, you know, that's why it's really important to take care of your body. If you get hurt, it's like, yeah, you can call out of work, you cannot go to classes, but like the work doesn't stop. Like, it's not like you can't just not do it, you know. You're eventually gonna have to catch up on it, like the world's gonna keep on moving.
Yeah.
And that's why it's better to take care of yourself now and have that longevity so that you can kind of make sure you keep up with that and do the, not only do the things that you want to do, but do the things that you need to do.
Yeah,
because as you grow older, you're an adult, you have responsibilities, and so like I said, that doesn't stop just because you got hurt. So I mean, I think that's a good, you know, a good lesson, a good teaching point that, you know, kind of just popped into my head. And then also too, like you said, obviously you go through some, you know, some dark times, you know, mentally with that, trying to like, trying to just understand like what's going on, the why me kind of aspect. When for you did you feel like you started thinking more into the fact like, okay, I'm injured, this is what it is, it's not going to change? When did it kind of start clicking for you, like, okay, now I need to start making more progressive steps to take care of my body? Like, you said, like, you said all the lessons that you kind of took away from it, but when did it really click, or when did you actually start to think about that in respect to the actual, since the actual injury happened?
Yeah, so I kind of had a two-step process to dealing with my knee injury, because I tore it in maybe like October, and
you
then
didn't get surgery for a while.
I didn't get surgery until probably later that spring, because I got the MRI maybe like a couple weeks later, confirmed that it was torn, basically like rehabbed my leg back to the point where I could walk, but stuff was still messed up in my knee, so I couldn't actually, like, I could feel the instability.
Yeah.
I could walk, and I got to a point where, you know, like, we even played like a little bit of football, I think
you would just pass, you know, you just
I just
kind of
like
threw the ball.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I still want to be active, so, and I'm getting to this point where I can walk and I'm building a little bit more muscle in my leg. Stuff is still torn and I feel the instability, so honestly it was probably a terrible idea to do that.
It was. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
It was like a good 6 months, but it's also hard too, because when you're in school, like you said, like, it doesn't stop, right? Like, you still have stuff you need to do, and once you take surgery, like, you are, if you were confined the first week, once you're once you're down and out with knee surgery, that's that's weeks to months at a time where you really are like completely immobile.
So having that preparation time and really picking my surgery date, and also being able to, you know, kind of do some pre-surgery strengthening and mm-hmm. strength training also really helped, I think, in my case. So I think I really started to take it more seriously as my surgery date was approaching. Mm-hmm. Like I knew, like, okay, this is the day that, you know, I'm not going to be able to walk anymore for, you know, X amount of time. So really mentally taking that preparation time to kind of like figure out what my priorities were. Like, okay, I know if I'm going to do this, I need to do this right. If I want to get back to whatever level I need to get back to. And, you know, I run into so many people at the gym or playing basketball that are like, oh yeah, you tore your ACL. I tore my ACL too. You know, like, oh yeah, I've torn mine like two or three times already. And it's like, yeah, man, like, I don't know, my doctor sucks or something like that. And I'm like, oh, you know, how long did you wait before you started playing basketball again? They're like, oh, you know, like a couple months, you know? And I'm just like, you know, you realize like there are steps that you need to take. Mm-hmm. And as much as you want to rush those things, it's not going to benefit you to skip to the end. Yeah. You know, you got to take those necessary steps along the way and build yourself up properly to be able to reach your end goal and, mm-hmm. and really, you know, find some way that's sustainable for you.
Yeah. And I think like based off what you were saying, you can kind of think about it in the fact too, like people I think tend to think because they see professional athletes do it in X amount of time and they're paying hundreds of thousands of
you don't see all the work that they're putting in behind the scenes, you know?
And it's really hard too, because I think when that happens and those people kind of like, they still don't understand it, the reason they have a harder time taking care of their body, I think a big reason in general, aside from just the humility aspect of it, it's because you don't see the progress. Like, by taking care of your body every day, obviously you're assuring that you're going to have more longevity, you're going to be able to live mm-hmm. a healthier lifestyle, but that's something that you don't see, that, you know, that happens over time. And so, like, I mentioned this in my last podcast, the idea of like instant gratification, having things happen, like we want to see that progress happen right away. I think people tend to not want to take care of their bodies as much because it's like they don't see the benefit of it until something happens. Absolutely. Like, they get hurt, you know? Absolutely. Like, because it's like, yeah, if I take care of myself every day, I'm not going to see, like, I don't feel like I'm gaining everything, but in reality, you're saving yourself for that long term. And I feel like people don't have that patience to really understand that vision. And so I think one thing when, you know, obviously I want you to dive more into your rehab aspect of mm-hmm. it, because that's a big part of an injury and can add a lot more humility to, you know, the realization of how the world works and that it's not always fair. But I remember when you were telling me and I saw it, like, I remember you told me, like, oh yeah, like I'm able to bend my knee like past 90 degrees now. And you were so excited about it. And I was like, it kind of helped put things in perspective for me. Like, that was kind of one of my aha moments. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was like, damn, like, that's so crazy to think, like, something that I take for granted. Like, I walk everywhere. I walk, you know, like I play sports, all that kind of stuff. And the fact that you were like over the moon about being able to bend your knee again, I was like, that like kind of opened it up for me. And then you said the same thing, like when you went up the stairs for the first time and stuff like that. And I think, like, that's what I'm saying, like, sometimes it takes like a major injury and a lot of people don't understand that. And I think it's kind of one of those blessing in disguise things, because it's like, perspective is a crazy thing, and when you can have something like that kind of put things into perspective for you, you know, I think you can only be better for it long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no, I mean, take us into the idea of like what happened during your rehab, you know, going through that process to get back to normal and the amount of work that you had to put in to just not even like, you know, not even to build, like, just to be strong in general, but just to get back to normal.
Yeah. So after the surgery, I think like a day or two after, my leg immediately atrophied. My quad shrank like probably to a quarter of the size that it was. It was kind of weird to see my leg just go from, you know, a regular leg to basically like a stick. Mm-hmm. And even comparing my left to right leg, it just looked so strange in the mirror.
Yeah.
So I think that was the first kind of step of, okay, you start from the bottom. This is your base level. You've hit the ground, and now what steps do you need to take to dig yourself out of whatever hole you're in? Mm-hmm. And for me, I think just having very small incremental goals, like my leg was super weak. I could only straighten it after the surgery. And then progressively, you know, you bend and stretch and do strengthening exercises. Like, I couldn't even lift my leg when I was laying down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the rehab in the beginning was just trying to lift your leg up. Like, so simple, but just literally lifting your leg up was the first exercise that I had to do.
And people think that they're like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, just lift your leg. But with no quad muscle, you can't do that. And it's really puts things into perspective and makes you feel humbled to, you know, my other leg was fine, so I could do it with that leg. But, you know, it's a really humbling experience to go through that. So yeah, just having those little small incremental goals, being able to lift my leg one day and then, you know, bending a little bit further and further, and then eventually finally getting it to 90 degrees and, you know, kind of pushing through whatever discomfort or pain and really sticking to whatever physical therapy exercises or regimen that the doctor would give, I think was the most important for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things where I kind of questioned, like, oh, I like, is this doing anything? Like, can mm-hmm. I even feel it? But, you know, just doing it just for the sake of doing it and, you know, going to the doctor and saying like, oh, you know, I don't see the progress of my leg where I want it to be. And it's like, okay, well, did you do your physical therapy exercises? I didn't want to have any sort of excuse for why things weren't the way that I wanted them to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges of rehab in general. It's just people not having the discipline to stick to their regimen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, expecting to get better magically over time. Like, your body can only heal so much,
but yeah.
You also need to put in that work so that your body can get there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you. Like, obviously, it's clear that you had an understanding that you have to do it in steps, and you came to the realization it's going to take time. It's not an mm-hmm. injury that you come back from right away. So for you, where did you really find that sense of, like, patience? Where did you understand? Because like you said, you've run into people that have had this injury multiple times, or just different, like, you can have, it doesn't even necessarily have to be the same injury, you know, people can have multiple, like, serious injuries, mm-hmm. and that's just kind of telling you kind of how they live their life or how they treat their body, you know, the kind of throwing things out there, and they're not patient coming back from those types of injuries. So how did you learn to kind of have patience through that? Because you could have just as easily seen that you weren't at the progress you wanted, pushed yourself too hard, and then ended up setting yourself back.
Yeah. So I definitely didn't want to prolong this process any further. I didn't want to be, like, crippled for, you know, a long time. And I knew that mm-hmm. working towards this in small incremental steps and not pushing myself past a point where I wasn't ready, it wasn't going to help, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to help me there. I think strong communication with whatever your healthcare provider is, your physical therapist or your doctor, to get an understanding of what your timetable is for return and, you know, kind of recovery. Like, oh, at this point, you should be hitting these boxes.
Mm.
You know, you should be able to, you know, bend your knee by 90 degrees at, you know, week X, or you should be able to return to play basketball by, you know, month X. It just having a good understanding of timing and setting expectations and goals for yourself and not being bogged down if you aren't reaching those goals, but just, like, continuing to work towards, you know, maintaining and getting there eventually.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, like, obviously, like, listening to your doctor too, because it's like they know what they're talking about.
And yeah.
I think it's the sense too, like I said, going back to, like, when we were kids, you know, like, parents pretty usually know what they're talking about when they tell you to stretch and get your sleep and eat right and take care of your body. And I feel like that's the thing. Like, you got to just listen to the people that are looking out for you, and you got to look out for, or, like, listen to the people that know what they're talking about. Like, they were you once,
yeah.
You know, at some point. And, you know, when we're young, especially, like this is so applicable to 20-something year olds, like, we're so stubborn, you know, especially, like, in this day and age, like, we like to think that we know everything because, you know, we're young and immature and we think about that sometimes. And it's important to just take a step back and understand that we don't know everything.
Oh, yeah.
So
And also just being comfortable knowing that you don't need to know everything right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to be ambitious and build our lives up and get to somewhere where we think we need to be, or, like, notice that, you know, my colleagues are somewhere. Why am I not there yet? I think a lot of people are uncomfortable not not feeling like, or feeling like they're getting left behind, you know?
100%, yeah. I think I've definitely talked, we've talked about this before, and I've talked about this on the other podcasts, like that idea of comparison. It's like, you can't, like at this point in your age, you need to stop comparing yourself to other people. And that can go for injuries because you're not the same.
Yeah.
And that can go for life because it's just, you're not the same. Like everyone goes at different speeds.
Yeah.
And
you go at your own pace.
You compare yourself to where you want to be, like the person, like set a goal for yourself and chase that, and mm-hmm. then compare old self to new self. New self to old self, you know, like there's no point in being like, oh, I'm not where Nick is, so I'm not successful. It's like, why don't I get where Justin wants to be and mm-hmm. Nick gets to where he wants to be? We work on our own goals, and then once we reach them, you know, set new ones. So like I said, your injury in itself, obviously a little bit more unique because it happened a little bit later on, you know, in college. And so I think that's good for people to understand. One, if you ever go through it, there's a good mentality to approach with it. And then mm-hmm. two, for anyone listening that, you know, nothing serious has happened to you, like, thank goodness that hasn't happened, but take all this into consideration so that you don't kind of run into that in the future.
Yeah.
Moving past that too, I mean, now you're almost 2 years graduated now, mm-hmm. you know, fully rehabbed from the injury. You can play sports again. You've made that recovery. You've busted through your goals. What are you doing now to take care of yourself? You know, like you said, you were pretty mentally aware of it before college. It goes away a little bit in college, obviously, because of all the distractions. You have your injury. Now we're post-grad, 2 years removed. What's your perspective on these things now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the biggest thing for me, I mentioned this prior, is really just listening to my body. There are some days where my knee will hurt. I know it's not anything super serious, but I know that if I ignore it or if I don't be proactive about it, it's not going to improve.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if it's bothering me on a Wednesday and I'm going snowboarding on a Saturday, what can I do to take care of my body
mm-hmm.
to make sure that by Saturday it's in better condition?
Yeah.
You know, doing lunges, strength training exercises, continuing to do like the physical therapy exercises that my PT gave me, and you know, even researching and looking up new exercises online, you know, putting in the research and having a genuine interest in figuring out how to take care of your own body is super important.
Yeah.
And it's not even just my knee. Like sometimes, you know, my back will hurt or my shoulder will hurt. And it's really about, you know, being curious about how your body works and how to take care of it. Looking up, you know, the supporting structures in your back or your shoulder and figuring like, oh, maybe if I strengthen this part of my body, it'll take some of the you know, pressure or weight off of the part that hurts. And I think for me, that's been the most successful aspect of me taking care of my body. Of course, coming up with like a regular gym regimen and being fortunate enough to have time to dedicate to taking care of my body in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, continuing to stay healthy, going hiking, playing basketball, going snowboarding and things like that, I think are, you know, things that I really do enjoy and, you know, like I said, want to continue to do in the future.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole reason I wanted to, you know, talk about this on the podcast, because I have recently come to I've known for a while, but I'm more or less coming to the realization now that I need to be taking more steps to take care of my body. Like, mm-hmm. like you've seen, we've talked about, I've been going to the doctor's office consistently for...
Yeah, and that's good. A lot of people really shy away from going to the doctor. If you have something wrong with you and you feel like it's not improving and, you know, nothing's happening by waiting or your body's not healing naturally, don't be afraid to go to the doctor. And if you can, if you're in a good place financially or if you have health insurance, like, there's really nothing stopping you from doing that. One thing that my parents always told me, my mom particularly, especially when I was kind of first going through my injury and going like, oh, like, should I even go to this consultation? Or like, do I need to get an MRI? Like, she told me health is wealth. And that's something that's always really stuck with me. You know, like, you can be the richest person in the world and you could be like the most successful person in the world, but if you die at, you know, 40, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what I've started to think about, is the fact of the matter is, like, I'm going to the doctor now, like, you know, I'm paying a little bit money now so I don't have to pay a lot more later.
Yeah.
So when something worse happens. And it's that fact of, like, understanding, because I'm just mentally, maybe it's a pride thing. Like I said, I'm not really sure. I'm still trying to figure this out for myself. Mm-hmm. But I love to push myself, and I love to push myself more so mentally than I do physically. But it's more like I want to do more physically because my mind is telling me that I can. So that mental strengthening aspect of it. But running into all these doctor's appointments, these MRIs, you know, trying to work around it with work and everything.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's super tough to realize that now, like, in the real world. And these are probably injuries that I could have prevented, you know, a long time ago by, like, taking care of my body. And so it's tough. Like, I'm still learning, you know, try to, like, you know, listening to my body more. And my dad has said that to me for so long because he's in a very similar spot. He aged his body so fast when he was young, and he's dealing it with now, like double hip replacements, looking at knee replacements, you know, ankle surgeries, like stuff like that. And like I've seen it over time, and even watching him, like, it's taken until now, until it's actually happened to me, to realize, like, okay, you need to start doing something about this. Like, yeah, I can post all the gym story, like the posting my workout stuff all I want, but am I going to be able to do that in 5 years if I don't start taking care of myself better now? And so right now for me, it's small things, you know, stretching, figuring out what these injuries are, right? Like going to the doctor and figuring out what these actual injuries are. But yeah, no, after talking about it, it just felt like it was such an important topic, and, you know, something that a lot of young people just don't think about.
Yeah, it's not a priority, you know? Yeah. Nobody thinks like, oh, I hope that I can, you know, continue to be active and maintain this lifestyle when I'm 40, you know?
Yeah.
It's so difficult to put yourself in that position, and, you know, whether it be like planning financially or planning for, you know, your physical well-being, it's difficult for a lot of people. And I think that, you know, props to you for having this mindset and this mentality kind of early on, it seems like. And as long as it's present in your mind, I think that you're making right strides towards it.
Yeah. And I, for like some reason, I started thinking about like scenarios, like you said, like what's the point of being rich if I'm gonna die at 40, or if I'm spending all that money on treatments to, you know, keep my body, or try to keep my body somewhat, you know, together at that point, if I'm that broken. And so sometimes I'll think about things, like try to think of situations that'll put things in perspective for me. Like for me, one thing I thought of was like, what if one day, like, you know, you get married, you have kids or something, say like I have a daughter, and I was like, what if you're too broken by the time she gets married to be able to like walk her down the aisle, or like something
father,
like that,
daughter dance, you know?
Or like, yeah, like things like that, like people, like things that they don't think about, like they obviously want to do eventually, but since it's not like right in front of them, they don't see that as, you know, you don't think about that. And so I think that's really important. If you know, anyone listening can kind of open their eyes a little bit to that aspect, I think.
Plan for the future a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And because that's something like we tend, like you said, we overlook that. Health is something we usually don't focus on until there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's better that we focus on it now consistently so that there's never something wrong.
Exactly.
You know? So don't wait until there's a problem.
Yeah, don't wait
to find
for
a solution.
Disaster. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we're kind of getting to the end of it a little bit. You know, we talked about, you know, what you're doing now post injury and things like that. If you wanted to leave any of the listeners with, you know, the last bit of advice, you know, moving forward for the long term. So like for you, like what are your plans long term to maintain yourself healthy, like health wise, and leave the listeners with that, the last bit of advice that you would have them start thinking about now?
Yeah, just right now for my own personal goals, maintaining that consistency, maintaining, you know, kind of a routine, eating healthy is another aspect that we didn't really touch much on, but that's huge, you know?
Yeah.
Like cutting back on how much you're drinking or smoking, or kind of what you're putting into your body, being a little bit more picky. Maybe I don't go out and eat as much, or maybe I'll cook at home, you know?
Save money too.
Yeah. Saving money is
20 some. shout out Michael. I, we shout out on every episode pretty much. And so, you know, let's call him out for how much money he spent, you know, the first year and a half living in San Francisco. So, but yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, like I said, just getting into that routine, you know, staying healthy, figuring, you know, that you want to put your body through a lot over the next couple of years. So taking those necessary steps towards that, and, you know, really investing, like working out, it's an investment in yourself. You know, you're putting in an hour, 2 hours a day into this, and, you know, your body is going to be sore the next day. But, you know, later down the road, you're going to be so much more thankful for that. You're like, your physical well-being is so important, and it has a big impact on your mental health and, you know, kind of how you approach life and just being able to do things and accomplish things. It's something that a lot of people do take for granted. So just, I'm not saying you have to obsess over it, but, you know, keeping that in your mind and having it be present is, you know, the best thing that you can do right now.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing too. I think sometimes the stigma around working out is that it has to be something like lifting weights. Like, there's so many activities that you can do to stay in shape or stay
healthy. For a walk, you could go for a hike, you know, just be outdoors, you know, just be active in some sort of way. And you're really finding what works for you. Whether that be, you know, like finding, you know, a gym partner or somebody to go, you know, hiking with, you know, it's all, you know, up to you.
Yeah. It takes time. Like, it takes, you got to try things. You got to, you know, figure out, like you said, what works for you. And I think understanding, like, yeah, like I said, it doesn't have to be working out. You know, you have your own interest. Take whatever you're interested in and incorporate that into your workouts. Like, it could be something that's like, if you like reading, go to the gym and hop on the Stairmaster or hop on the bicycle and read while you're at the gym. I don't know. Like, you could do anything. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's taking kind of like, you know, opposite ends and kind of bringing it both together, both beneficial. But yeah, anything else that you want to add before we head out on this one?
I think we talked about most of the stuff, you know, just health is wealth and, you know, keep that in your mind.
Yeah. Be humble, have some humility, take care of yourself, listen to your body, plan for the long term, not just for what's in front of you. And yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed this. This was something that, you know, like I said, is really important to me now, and I myself am still trying to figure it out. It's not like I've mastered this or I'm, you know, we're like professionals.
Yeah, we're all working towards it, man.
Yeah, and that's life, right? You're working it out, you know, day by day. You know, you're figuring it out. Like, where that's the whole point of this podcast is like to help let people know that it's okay to not have everything figured out and to be a resource to those people who want to learn. And so, thank you for your time, Nicholas. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, man. This is pretty awesome.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, content creation. You know, like I'm very hyped up on it. So, thanks, guys, for listening. I will see you guys again in 2 weeks for the next one. And yeah, take care.